Welcome back for Mac Minutes, episode 75 on Saturday, 2nd of May. Digital delivery in an analog world. Understanding music quality and why it matters. This is the Mac Minutes podcast with John Scudder, where you will hear about the world of Apple and how technology can help you work smarter, personally and professionally. We will give you the news you can use in minutes, not hours. That's why this is the Mac Minutes podcast. In this episode, we will answer a question from Mac Minutes podcast listener Leanna, asking about music quality, how it's measured, and why it matters. We will go into the technical background of the differences between streaming quality, downloadable music files, and those you might find on a commercial artist's CD. Let's get the show started. We will start with a simple analogy and progress to more technical information. A commercial artist's CD is the representation of a pie. The music quality on a CD is generally accepted as the best quality a listener can hear. This is considered uncompressed music. When you buy music from a streaming service or several other online providers, you are buying compressed music. Like getting 2 to 3 pieces of the pie, there are only a small number that sell you the uncompressed file or the whole pie in this analogy. When the file is compressed, music data is lost, especially in the high ranges. In many settings, such as a gym or driving, the difference is subtle. At home or in a quiet setting, there's a distinct difference. I'll take this one step further before we go on. When you buy a commercial CD, you have a lasting, tangible recording of the artist's music, which can be passed on to a relative, given away, or even donated. In any of those cases, someone else will enjoy the music you purchased. With a downloaded file, in most cases when a person passes, the music file is no longer accessible. You may ask why these reputable providers sell compressed files. The best motive I can tell you is the size of the files are very large in comparison, and the devices you have to buy to store the uncompressed music versions have to be large data storage. So between the storage library, transferring the music, and the devices they have to sell, there's a lot of money that has to be spent to send uncompressed music. All this costs money from the provider and the buyer. Thus, if the music provider wants to be competitive in this marketplace, quality is compromised for price. What bothers me the most is the young people growing up to these partial representations of an artist's performance. They never hear or know the difference. This upsets me, and it's only when I attend a tech show or conferences am I reinvigorated that quality will be retained by the younger generations. When I see the young students coming in from the universities and being able to hear the real artist's music. I saw this firsthand earlier this year at the Consumer Electronics Show, or CES, in Las Vegas with a presentation by Grammy artist Alicia Keys and others on music quality. Let's now delve deeper into the technical answer to answer this question. The natural sounds of our world every day are analog. They are a continuous, uninterrupted stream of information. Vinyl records and most magnetic tape recordings are analog. Digital representations of natural sounds are created using discrete, discontinuous values rather than by a continuous flow. This is done by taking slices or sections of information, converting them to digital representation of sound, and reassembling them into an audio bit stream. This process of sampling is limited in fully representing the original analog sound by the amount of digital information used to recreate the original sounds. Music from the internet, whether downloaded or streamed, and CDs are digital. There are three major groups of digital audio formats. The first one is uncompressed audio. Even though real-world sounds are uncompressed and any digital representation is by definition a compression, for the purpose of this audio discussion, the waveform audio file format which is WAVE or .WAV, is considered uncompressed audio. The Macintosh AIFF format is similar. Both formats are compatible with Windows, Macintosh, and Linux operating systems. CDs are recorded with two channels of 44,100, which is commonly referred to as 44.1K, samples per second of 16 bits per sample. The Nyquist-Shannon theorem states that frequency reproduction is less than half of the sampling frequency. Therefore, the CD standard of 44.1 kHz was established to reproduce the higher range of human hearing of 20 kHz. And I'll go into this a little bit more in a few minutes. These large uncompressed files take up a considerable amount of space and take a long time to transfer to media between computers and to share over the internet. However, they offer the best audio quality because they contain the most information. Now let's look at the file sizes that can be made smaller with compression. There are two types, lossy and lossless. These are the types that people are only getting partial parts of the pie and are not hearing the artist's true performance. Lossy compression throws away sounds or parts of sounds that can never be reconstituted upon playback. Perceptual coding is so called because it uses psychoacoustic models to fool the brain into perceiving that all the sounds are there when in fact they're not. Lossless compression uses algorithms that can restore the exact information that was removed to make the file smaller. These schemes generally reduce the file size by a factor of 2 or half as large. One of the most types of lossless audio compressions is FLAC, which stands for Free Lossless Audio Codec. In the past few years, there have been several compression schemes on the market making superior quality claims when they are indeed lossy compression. Deception when you delve deeper. An easy way to tell is by the digital file size, comparing a CD file of a song to a downloaded music file. If you think the 5 megabyte CD song is the same as the one you downloaded that's barely a megabyte, you are mistaken, and anyone who tells you you are getting the same music quality is selling you not the full pie, going back to our original analogy. Probably the most common lossy compression format the public is familiar with is MP3. For MP3s, the highest audio quality is 300 kilobytes per second. MP3s use a lossy compression scheme, which fools the brain into perceiving that all the sounds are present when in fact they aren't. Let's discuss this further. It is generally accepted that humans can hear from 20 cycles per second at the lowest to 20,000 cycles at its highest. Cycles or frequencies are called hertz, abbreviated HZ, and 1,000 is abbreviated K for kilo. So when we say 20 hertz or 20,000 kilohertz, so it takes 20 pieces of information to describe the lowest frequencies and 20 thousands of pieces of information to describe the highest frequencies. So there is 1,000 times more information in these highest frequencies. So you can see why the highest frequencies are lost with compression. If a file is undergoing lossy compression and information needs to be removed, the most obvious place to remove sounds is where they are the most dense, at the higher frequencies. As the compression ratio increases, sounds are removed beginning with the higher frequencies, then they remove the lower ones and the lower frequencies. The first perception of loss is percussion instruments like cymbals, hi-hat cymbals, snare drums. They're not crisp. They start to splatter, become fuzzy, then weak. As compression ratios increase, the general sound becomes muddy. Then your mid-bass becomes muddy. So I hope that answers your question, Leanna. If you have a question, please get a hold of me and I can answer them in a future episode. The Mac Minutes webpage is located online at macminutes.blubrry.net. Other places are Twitter at @minutes_Mac and Facebook at Mac Minutes. So summing this podcast up, I would research the music provider that you download. My choice is basically two ways when I buy music. I buy an artist's CD or I buy the original vinyl record. Analog vinyl records is a whole different podcast, which we'll save for a different day. So that's all we have for Mac Minutes for this week. I'd urge you to join the Mac Minutes podcast group on Facebook, where I post articles from the top tech journalists. People can discuss topics, post articles, join special events, and there's other great tech happenings. Mac Minutes listeners can visit the Alaskan Apple Users Group Zoom meeting scheduled for May 13th at 7 p.m. Alaskan time. You can find information about that meeting at the Mac Minutes Group website. For the Mac Minutes listeners, I hope all of you are well and your loved ones are well, and I look forward to seeing you on next week's Mac Minutes. Thank you again for listening to Mac Minutes. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Deezer, and many of your other podcatchers. Take care of yourself during the upcoming week, and we'll see you soon on the Mac Minutes podcast.